Entertainment Services.
This is the News at 5 on WRKC Wilkes-Barre.
Good evening. This is the WRKC News at 5. I'm Lauren Gallagher. Thank you for joining us. Tonight's top stories are an informal discussion from renowned lobbyist Sister Simone Campbell and the MIC Club's Ultimate Flag Challenge. We'll also hear the latest economics news on the business beat, listen to an artist spotlight on legendary rocker Tom Petty, focusing on some of his deep cuts. The Monarch Sports update comes after that, followed by the weather for the rest of the week. King's College registered the highest percentage of students to vote in the 2016 presidential election in a competition. The school was rewarded yesterday with a visit from Sister Simone Campbell of the Nuns on a Bus program. Program director John Flynn sat down with the sister to discuss her work.
Nationally renowned advocate and lobbyist Sister Simone Campbell of NETWORK, a group of advocates for justice inspired by Catholic sisters, visited King's College Tuesday as she talked about the pressing issues of today that impact everyone from college students to senior citizens. This is the college's reward for having the highest rate of participation in the 2016 presidential election among all schools in NETWORK's nationwide competition. In part one of this two-part WRKC exclusive, the Cheval Center hosted a meet and greet with Sister Simone as the guest Tuesday afternoon with a group of students and staff in the posture pack room in McGowan Hall. The immediate topic of discussion was the gun control debate. In response to the mass shootings in Las Vegas, Nevada, just 48 hours earlier, Sister Simone explained why the debate is in such a stalemate.
The horror is they're afraid to look because the gun lobby is making so much money from selling these weapons. It's really sad. Personally, I don't think anybody needs an automatic weapon. And personally, I think that we should strictly construe the Constitution. You know, everybody says, oh, the Second Amendment says we have a right to bear arms. Well, that's cool. Okay, we have a right to bear arms, but nobody says we have a right to bear an automatic weapon. Or that we have a right to bear arms without being registered. We have a right of movement, too, so we can drive a car, but we have to have a license to drive a car. Shouldn't we have a license to carry a gun? Seems elementary.
The discussion then delved into the issues facing seniors, such as retirement, wages, and Social Security. Sister Simone says that the relationship between costs and wages is tipping the scales in American society in several ways.
Seniors are retiring on the money they earned when wages were back here at a lower level, so they don't keep earning more. It stays lower than the cost of living. Many seniors rely just on Social Security, which is not enough because there's not private retirement programs. Or they lost money in bad investments or invested in real estate that then gets depressed.
This cost issue also impacts the education system, but Sister Simone suggests that schools are raising tuition costs so that they can compete with the Ivy League schools on the educational value.
And one of the problems is we've changed everything to being valued, to being measured by the dollar sign. I was with a university and they said, this would never happen at King's College, I'm sure. They said, oh, we raised our tuition because we wanted to be competitive with the Ivy League schools. And what I realized is, yet again, money was the measure of winning. That the more it costs, the better it is. But that's just in our heads.
Finally, she pulls in the recent debate on health care as she reaffirms her belief of universal health care in the U.S.
We've got to speak up on the common good, the fact that as a nation, the richest nation on earth, we ought to be able to make sure that all of our people get health care. And where this goes awry is in this scarcity model. We've got this model that I need it, and if I have it, then there's not enough to go around. And if you take it, then I'm going to lose. There's plenty to go around. But we've got to figure out better distribution ways, better ways of accessing it. And physician assistants are great ways of doing this, of getting healthcare professionals out in other places.
Stay tuned for part two of Sister Simone's visit to King's College on Friday's newscast, exclusively on the WRKC News at 5, when she speaks to a broader audience about practicing faith and justice in polarizing times. Until then, for the WRKC News at 5, I am Program Director John Flynn.
Each year, the Multicultural and International Club hosts an Ultimate Flag Challenger, where students can test their knowledge of the world's flags. Station Manager Katie Pugh talked with the event's organizers.
The Multicultural and International Club and the Hispanic Outreach Program held their annual Ultimate Flag Challenge earlier today in the Tool Lobby of the Campus Center. The MIC Club set up over 100 global flags for students to try their luck at making the top spots for a variety of prizes for their knowledge. Raina Logsdon, head of the Hispanic Outreach Program at King's, spoke of the importance of knowing the flags of the world.
It is objective, and the purpose of it is to let the students find out and basically learn about the different cultures, countries that are around here, and just to become familiar with all the other parts of the world, basically, because a lot of times we don't pay attention to those things in high school for history lessons. Geographically, I think it's important that they put together which flag belongs to what country. So it's a good learning experience.
Logsdon also discussed the practical purposes of knowing common flags as a global citizen.
I think that it would be useful for when they travel. It would be useful to, it would make them feel good and feel knowledgeable and confident when anyone can ask them a question about a specific country, and they can say, okay, well, I know what the flag looks like and which flag belongs to that country.
Chris K. Caesar, a freshman business major, was a participant in the Ultimate Flag Challenge. K. Caesar explained the value he gets from knowing the various flags of the globe as a business student.
I know a lot about flags, so I decided to use my skills. I think it helps them build character, helps them be globally aware of what's going on. Not like just with their flags, but like they'll see it up and be like, oh, I know someone from there. I know what that looks like. Instead of just being like, what is that? I have no clue what that is.
Sierra Lanis, a member of the MIC Club, facilitated the event. She discussed why she thinks being a global citizen is important in the modern world.
I think it's important to gain worldly knowledge other than America. Yes, it's important to know issues about your own country, but you want to get a good broad exposure to the ones outside. That way you're not all centric and all about America.
MIC has a packed list of events coming up this semester. Lanis details MIC's next hosting on campus.
We have the All Around the World Day coming up next week, where we have a bunch of boards giving information about the countries that we were designated to, and there'll be different ethnic foods there to try out, fun facts you can learn. It's a good way to gain some more worldly knowledge.
Both Hispanic Outreach and MIC are always looking for new members and volunteers on campus. Raina Logsdon explained how to get involved.
There are many ways to get involved. We're always looking to recruit students. We hold cultural events throughout the semester, throughout the academic year. We have different programs to help and assist high school students, elementary students, tutoring them, and even adults that come here to learn English as a second language.
Email jasminetabron@kings.edu for more details on how to get involved in either of these organizations and for details on meeting times and locations. For the WRKC News at 5, I'm Station Manager Katie Pugh.
Coming up next, we'll get an update on the markets with the Business Beat, listen to a special artist spotlight tribute for the late Tom Petty, get a look into the world of Monarch Sports, and get the forecast for the next 48 hours.
Hi, this is Alan Stout. Please join us on Thursday, October 12th at the Woodlands for Jane Jam. This special night of music will celebrate the life of Jane Train and will feature performances by 21 acts on 3 stages. Doors to the Over 21 event open at 6 p.m. and there will be nonstop music until 1 a.m. Proceeds will benefit Jason McClough and the new Janet Raines Memorial Music Scholarship Fund. For more information, visit Jane Jam on Facebook. Jane Jam, Thursday, October 12th at the Woodlands. Hope to see you there as we all celebrate a remarkable life.
Hey, this is Tony from Sparta, and you're listening to 88.5 WRKC-FM, Wilkes-Barre at King's College.
The news at 5 continues on 88.5 WRKC, Wilkes-Barre.
Hello, this is Joshua Frankevich with your King's Business Beat, the U.S. in Review. New home sales fell 3.4% to a 560,000-unit annualized pace in August. The Houston metro area accounts for about 5% of new home sales, providing an indication of the magnitude of hurricane-related disruptions. Inventory of new homes for sale at the end of the period spiked in August, largely in the South. Most of the increase was in homes not yet started or under construction, which is consistent with earlier reported data on completions, which fell sharply. The inventory of both completed new and existing home sales for sale remains near historic lows. The inventory has weighed on home sales in the United States. Pending home sales fell a larger-than-expected 2.6% in August, the fifth drop in the past 6 months, and a sign that existing home sales will likely continue to slide during the next few months. Amid this lean inventory environment, home price growth has been firm. The S&P National Home Price Index rose again in July and is up 5.9% over the year, continuing the steady price gains of 5-6% seen over the past few years. September consumer confidence was also dinged by hurricane effects, but only modestly so. Consumer confidence fell 0.6 points in September from August's downwardly revised reading. The decline was concentrated in the present situation component, most likely related to the recent hurricanes, and, however, as expectations for the future were stronger in the month. Durable goods orders rose 1.7% in August, aided in part by a bounce back in the aircraft orders component. New orders for non-military capital goods rose a strong 0.9% in August, bringing the three-month average to a 6.4%. Amazon has been ordered to repay $293 million in back taxes after the European Commission said it had been given an unfair tax deal in Luxembourg. The Commission also plans to take Ireland to court over its failure to collect 13 billion euros in back taxes from Apple. Amazon denied it owned any back tax, saying it did not receive any special treatment from Luxembourg. An Amazon spokesperson said, "We will study the Commission's ruling and consider our legal options, including an appeal." But the European Competition Commissioner said the Luxembourg arrangement meant that Amazon had been allowed to pay substantially less tax than other businesses, which it said was illegal under EU state aid rules. Yahoo has said that all of its 3 billion user accounts were affected in a hacking attack dating back to 2013. The company, which was taken over by Verizon earlier this year, said an investigation had shown the breach went much further than originally thought. The stolen data did not include passwords in clear text, payment card, or bank account data, it added. The Global Review. Voters in Germany went to the polls early last week and returned Angela Merkel to the chancellorship for her fourth term. In more sense, the result was not very surprising. The German economy has been expanding steadily for the past 4 years, and the unemployment rate has dropped to its lowest in the post-reunification period. However, the electoral results were not all positive for Chancellor Merkel. Merkel's Christian Democratic Party won a plurality with 33% of the votes cast. However, this percentage was down sharply from the 42% the CDU received in 2013. The Alternative für Deutschland, AfD party, garnered 13% of the vote, which means a far-right party will be represented in the Bundestag for the first time since the end of World War II. Economic growth in Scotland in a three-month basis fell to a mere 0.1%, it has been reported. The latest figures showed the service sector, the largest part of Scotland's economy, grew by 0.7%. However, output in the production sector fell 0.7% and the construction sector dropped by 3.5%. Year growth for Scotland's economy was 0.5%, behind the equivalent UK growth of 1.5%. The UK's economy grew at its slowest pace since 2013 in the 3 months to June, according to revised official figures. GDP grew by 1.5% from a year earlier, the Office for National Statistics said, down from an earlier estimate of 1.7%. The ONS said a key factor behind the fall was a drop in activity in the film industry following a particularly strong June. ONS figures also showed that the UK's current deficit widened to £23.2 billion. And this has been your King's Business Beat with Joshua Frankevich.
Hello, friends. How you doing? This is Sam Zavada, the music director at WRKC, and today's artist spotlight is going to be revolving around Tom Petty, the legendary rock act who passed away on Monday night. I joke all the time about how I think a lot of classic rock artists are pretty overrated, but I'd never say that about Tom Petty. Free Fallin', Here Comes My Girl, The Waiting, Mary Jane's Last Dance, Runnin' Down a Dream, they're all classics, showing off Petty's impressive ability to write songs with just the right inflections in both music and lyric. I think my favorite Petty contribution was his work on the Traveling Wilburys record, End of the Line. You'll hear that song tonight, right after Love is a Long Ride and The Golden Rose, both performed by the great Tom Petty. There was a girl in love. She said she cared about me.
You just heard an artist spotlight on the late, great Tom Petty. Rest easy, Tom. A true visionary and one of the greatest figures in the popular music industry. If you enjoyed this program tonight, make sure to always tune in to the News at 5 to hear the best music in college radio. I've been Sam Zavada, the music director at WRKC. Have a wonderful night.
This is your sports director, Dan Stokes, with your Monarch Sports Update. The Lady Monarch cross-country team excelled on Saturday, running at the Long Short Invitational hosted by Dickinson College. On the long course, Marissa Duraco finished 20th overall with a time of 23 minutes, 35 seconds. On the short course, Tara Johnson finished 6th with her best time of 14 minutes, 53 seconds. The Lady Monarchs will take a week off before returning to the course on October 14th, when they will compete at the Gettysburg Invitational. The meet in Gettysburg will be the last regular season invitational for Kings before competing in the Middle Atlantic Conference Championships and the NCAA Mideast Regional Championships. On Monday night, the Lady Monarch field hockey team shut out Moravian College 3-0, winning their 6th game in a row after starting the season with 5 straight losses. Junior Kelsey Gabrielle scored 2 goals in the contest, bringing her season total to 7. Senior Anastasia Araviakis scored her 2nd career goal in the contest. Kayla Naylor and Brianne Mulata split time in net to keep the shutout intact. The field hockey team has a 6-5 record on the season. The Lady Monarchs return to the field on Wednesday with the 7:30 matchup at Alvernia University. The men's soccer team shut out Penn College 4-0 on Tuesday night at McCarthy Stadium. This was the Monarchs' 3rd straight shutout. The Monarchs outshot the Wildcats 12-5. Brendan Rabb, Alistair Dinnan, Aiden DiCamillo, and Liam McLaughlin all scored goals in the contest. Goalie Owen Geedy got the save in net, only having to make 1 save in the contest. The Monarchs moved to 7-3-1 on the season. They return to the pitch Friday as they take on Manhattanville College at 7 p.m. in McCarthy Stadium. The King's College women's volleyball team picked up a much-needed Freedom Conference victory Tuesday night as the Lady Monarchs defeated crosstown rival Wilkes University 3-0 in the Scanlon Gymnasium. Rachel Miller led Kings with 16 kills, 5 digs, and 2 service aces. Caitlin Shiflett followed with 12 kills, 13 digs, and 4 blocks. Jill Korjeski contributed 7 kills and 18 digs, while Maddie Coombe handed out 38 assists, including the 2,000th assist of her career, and she also added 10 digs. The Lady Monarchs have a 12-8 record on the season. The Lady Monarchs return to the court tonight as they travel to Gwynedd Mercy University for a 6 p.m. matchup. And now in the world of professional sports. Last night, the New York Yankees took on the Minnesota Twins in a 1-game wild card elimination playoff game at Yankee Stadium. Yankees starter Luis Severino lasted a 1/3 of an inning, giving up 3 runs on 4 hits and a walk. The Twins had an early 3-run lead. Twins starter Irvin Santana, however, only lasted 2 innings himself, giving up 4 runs on 3 hits and 2 walks. Yankee shortstop Didi Gregorius laced a 3-run homer to tie the game at 3. Later in the game, the crowd would rise as Aaron Judge, the AL home run leader, belted a 2-run homer to left field. David Robertson got the win in relief for the Yankees, while Jose Barrios took the loss for the Twins. The Yankees' 8-4 victory earned them a trip to Cleveland to take on the Indians on Thursday in the first round of the American League Division Series. Tonight, the Arizona Diamondbacks host the Colorado Rockies in the National League wildcard game. It will be a battle of the aces as Arizona sends out Zach Greinke, who had a bounce back year, as he faces Colorado probable John Gray, who missed time earlier in the season due to an injury. The winner will travel to Los Angeles to take on the Dodgers in the first round of the National League Division Series. This has been your Monarch Sports Update for the WRKC News at 5. I'm Sports Director Dan Stokes.
And now the weather. Tonight will be partly cloudy with a low of 59 degrees. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy with a high of 81. And Friday will be rainy with a high of 72. Tonight's Wear Your Crown Wednesday is an opportunity to plant your own plant. It takes place at 8 p.m. in the Moreau Auditorium. The 2016-2017 yearbooks have arrived on campus and will be available for pickup tomorrow afternoon from 1 to 3, and Friday afternoon from 2 to 4 in the Campus Center. All current sophomores, juniors, and seniors are eligible for 1 free yearbook. Productions of the King's Theater musical, A Year with Frog and Toad, continue tomorrow at 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. in the Maffei Theater. The Health and Wellness Fair takes place this Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the Monarch Court. This has been the WRKC News at 5. I'm Lauren Gallagher. Have a wonderful Wednesday.
This has been the News at 5 on WRKC, Radio King's College, Wilkes-Barre.